Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Steel Town Sleepers with Chris the Magic Mandel and myself, Tony Squares. We are a member of the North Shore Drive podcast family presented by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and we are on the at PG Sports Now YouTube channel, diving into fantasy football every single week, giving you winners, answering your start sit questions, talking about the Steelers themselves, figuring out what to do with that offense in your fantasy football needs, and winning you your fantasy football week after week after week. Dell, my friend, we finally made it. The quarter mark of the NFL season. Four games every team has played, and now we're hitting bye weeks. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. You got to go fishing. Go find some guys. Get your bench players ready because we are starting a lot of players. It's time. Bye weeks are where the money is made. Am I right?
It's time to make the trades. It's time to hit the waiver wire even harder than ever. It's time to get rid of our preseason draft day priors. You know, look, if you're 1-3, if you're 0-4, it's definitely not too late to make a comeback. No. Make a couple trades, shake some things up in your starting lineup. And the season is far from over. We have 13 weeks of the fantasy regular season. I've had teams in the past where I was 4-0 and didn't make the playoffs, and I have other teams where I was 0-4 and I wound up winning the league. So you never know what can happen. Don't lose faith. I would say number one lesson heading into week five is keep the faith, my friends, because it's far from over in fantasy right now.
Well, I got to tell you, if you have any Steelers on your team like I do, it's going to be hard for them to keep the faith right now because that offense has been stagnant at best and now could be missing Kenny Pickett. We could be seeing Mitch Trubisky coming in, throwing against the Baltimore, a Baltimore defense that has been really, really good. It's a big game this week for them, man. Not only divisional, you're looking at the playoffs, but it's also like in-house. The house seems to be burning down a little bit. Mike Tomlin is deflecting things when he's talking to the media. He's saying there's going to be big changes being made, and then the next day he says there's no changes coming on the offensive coordinator position. So what exactly is going on? If Pittsburgh looks faulty here, and again, could be Mitch Trubisky. If Pittsburgh looks bad here, there could be a lot of fire going on in Pittsburgh, whether it's fantasy or team-related. So there's a big deal. My friend, how do you see this attacking this from a fantasy football perspective? Are you looking at a spot start for Mitch Trubisky? Are you looking Najee Harris coming out saying the team is playing soft? Like, are you looking for a Najee Harris bounce back game? George Pickens has just been gone. He's disappeared. What? And of course, Pat Freiermuth could be down for this game as well. What's going on in your mind from a fantasy angle on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, well, we had the report yesterday at post-gazette.com that Kenny Pickett says he's going to play, says he's good to go. The news came out earlier in the week that they said he'd be fine, and a lot of people wondered what that meant. Would he be out a couple weeks? Would he be out a month? Because when he went down in week four,
people
thought the season was over for Pickett. The way that play looked right there, and obviously the controversy of who calls a drop back like that on a 4th-and-1 when your signature style is ground and pound, no matter how effective that is. So that's been a cause of controversy all week as well. But I think when you got to look at this for fantasy purposes, you're probably not starting Kenny Pickett. You probably weren't starting him, at least after the first couple weeks of the season. And look, in a dynasty league, I still think there is some prospects around him. Najee Harris, surprisingly, you know, the box scores haven't looked great. But if you look at his efficiency metrics, they've actually been better than previous seasons in his career. He's quietly having one of the better seasons efficiency-wise on the ground that he's had as a Steeler. But again, it's not showing up in the box score. So to me, Freiermuth, he's going to be out this weekend. Yep. He's doubtful right now, so it's not 100% official. But Brian, back to our Steelers reporter, one of our Steelers reporters had the report yesterday that they're looking to use rookie tight end Darnell Washington, who's a massive man.
Human being.
Potentially in that Freiermuth type of role. Now, look, last year we knew what the Freiermuth role was. This year, the Freiermuth role isn't the same. He wasn't really producing or getting the amount of targets so far in 2023. So I think that you look at optimistically, who can I take a flyer on, stash at the end of my bench? Darnell Washington is that guy to me. And I still think that Deontay, if you have an IR spot, or even just an extra bench spot at the end, he's worth stashing. George Pickens obviously is a buy low candidate at this point because you're not going to get much trying to trade him away. But
Chris, can we talk about Pickens for a second? You know, he's been my favorite player. You know, I've drafted him everywhere, but Pickens this week in particular, if you're looking for a Steelers player to throw, you know, throw all your hopes and dreams onto, I mean, what Baltimore has done versus receivers over the first four games of the season, they've let up some pretty big games. Robert Woods and Nico Collins had really big games in week one. T. Higgins had a huge game in week two against Baltimore. Michael Pittman and Josh Downs, really big games in week three against Baltimore. And then last year, obviously, since Cleveland didn't really have a quarterback, so that game I'm not really going to count too much. I'm just saying these wide receivers could be open. They have been open against Baltimore. If it is Pickett, if it is a hobbled Pickett, so to speak, not a lot of mobility there, do you think Pickens has any chance of saving my fantasy team and having a day like some of these other receivers have had against this Baltimore D?
Yeah, I mean, you can't be that confident right now starting any pass catchers on the Steelers offense. It's an unfortunate thing, but I think, you know, Jaylen Warren to me is the one guy that I would feel comfortable starting because they're going to be trailing a lot. You know, Kenny Pickett's not going to be 100%, at least not just yet. And look at their upcoming schedule after Baltimore. You have the Rams after the bye. You have them coming up in week seven. Then you have Jaguars, Titans, Packers, Browns, and Bengals. So you don't have any of those cakewalk matchups like you did against the Raiders earlier this season. So if they're going to be trailing, if Pickett's not going to be 100%, what's he going to do? He's going to look to dump down for those easy passes. And we know out of anything that Jaylen Warren is the running back catching passes in this offense. So to me, I think Jaylen Warren actually has increased in value, even though Najee looked good in week four, Jaylen Warren still had just as many fantasy points because of those PPR catches. So Pickens, you know, you don't feel super comfortable starting him right now. I'm not going to sell him for pennies on the dollar, but that's to me how I see it is Darnell Washington, sneaky stash on your bench. Jaylen Warren could be worth a flex start now. And Pickens, you might kind of just have to wait and see because, you know, we don't know what Kenny Pickett's going to look like just yet.
I will say I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Jaylen Warren leads the league in receptions on third and long. The only problem is those receptions are behind the line of scrimmage and he has to make seven guys miss to gain a yard. But he gets a lot of catches in those situations. Thanks again, Matt Canada. Let's move on to the grander scheme of the NFL, because as you said, we got a lot of Steelers that we're not excited about playing in our fantasy squad. So let's find some dudes that we are excited about playing in our fantasy squads. We'll go position by position, give you a couple of guys that you can count on. And again, these guys aren't going to be the Pat Mahomes of the world. We know you're starting Josh Allen, okay? We're trying to find you guys, especially in the bye weeks now, that you might have on your bench and you might be deciding between one or two names. This is the guy you want to either go with or this is the guy you want to stay away from. Let's start out at the quarterback position, Dell. I'm excited to see who you give out here. This is also where you're going to give out your sleeper of the week. And last week, you nailed the sleeper of the week. It was C.J. Stroud again, and he continues his dominant run towards a Rookie of the Year campaign. But what's QB1 in Dell's mind?
Well, I'm actually going to go to a couple guys I'm lower on this week, Tony, because you know, I'm always about my guy, Anthony Richardson. If you got him, you're starting no matter what. And I think Stroud's in that conversation now as well. You know, a game with a high point total where I'm not so sure if at least one of the teams going to get there is Jacksonville against the Buffalo Bills. And Trevor Lawrence, I'm pretty down on compared to the rest of the industry right now. Von Miller might be coming back. And this defense has played very well now through 4 weeks of regular season football. Buffalo's graded number three overall in terms of their secondary coverage, in terms of defending opposing offenses here through the air by PFF. So That's one thing I'm looking at. The pass rush is playing well if they do get Von Miller back. Here's another thing to consider, too, is that we've seen success in teams playing in London games of teams who actually show up to London later than teams who show up earlier in the week with all the distractions going on. And keep in mind that Jacksonville's now going to be in London for two straight weeks with back-to-back games there. They're staying in a different city, in a different hotel, playing in a different stadium. This is one of those extended two-week vacations. By the end of it, you don't even want to be in a hotel anymore. You want to be in the comforts of your own home in bed. So I'm worried that Jacksonville has already been struggling. Now they play a much better defense than they faced in Atlanta last week. So for me, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, if you've got better options than him, I've got him right in the middle, QB15 this week. That's five spots below the rest of the industry. Other rankers have him at QB10, so I'm considerably lower on Lawrence for week five.
Dell, I almost double dipped, my friend. I had Trevor on my short list, but I crossed him off because I sold Trevor last week. I thought Trevor last week was going to be a bust. He ended up QB 16, so I was pretty right on the money there. And I'm right there with you. That Jack, you're absolutely right when you're talking about the Buffalo defense, but also that Jacksonville offense, to me, it's just not as exciting as we thought it was going to be in the season. So I'm with you on Trev. I'm going to give you another sell. I'm going to give you a guy that I've fallen in love with, a guy that I've talked about on this show. I was the first person on this show to mention his name and say, you got to start buying this guy. And as Dell said, he's an auto start next to Anthony Richardson, and it's C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud has been excellent. I think he's having a wonderful season, and it's dumb to count him out. But this week in particular, this Atlanta defense is very, very good, especially against the pass. And that's not a team that you have in your mind to say, oh, yeah, Atlanta's a good defense. Throw those old thoughts away. Atlanta's defense is here to stay, especially against the pass. In four games already, they only have one quarterback that's thrown for over 210 yards against them, and it was Jared Goff, who threw for 240. This team plays the pass so well and keeps teams in front of them, doesn't allow big plays. The only reason Trevor Lawrence ended up QB 16 last week is because he had 8 rushes on the ground for 42 yards. I don't think CJ is going to be able to do that against them. CJ, again, has been an awesome, awesome player. I think Houston's going to struggle. I think it's a low-scoring game here. I like the Atlanta defense to keep CJ Stroud down. If you have him, you're probably playing him because he probably was drafted as your backup and you need him to replace a Kirk Cousins right now. I get it. I would try my best to stay away from CJ Stroud this week. That's just me, and I love the guy. I love the guy. This hurts to say this, but you got to put bias aside, Dell. You got to put your heart aside and focus on the numbers here. I'm selling CJ Stroud, but who's your QB2, my friend?
Yeah, I'm with you on the pace of play and that with that Falcons matchup for CJ Stroud. Then the play volume, we talked about it last week, and Lawrence is going to be down. And like you said, Trevor Lawrence, QB 16. QB 16 is not really doing much for you week to week in fantasy football. So another guy I'm down on, and look, I don't think his team's going to play bad. I don't think he's necessarily going to play bad, but it's Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions. Now, look, Carolina has one of the worst run defenses in the entire league. And we know if the Lions know they can take advantage of an opposing ground game, what do they do? They give Dave Montgomery 79 carries a game. I mean, come on. Like, the guy had 34 touches on a short week, coming back from a multi-week absence from his injury, just unbelievable. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, I guess that's a pipe dream because I don't know when we're going to see double-digit touches out of him on a consistent basis or at least double-digit fantasy points.
Anytime you can draft a guy in the first round and only give him, like, single-digit touches a game, you have to do it, right?
Look what they did with DeAndre Swift. They complained about him for, like, 3 straight years on end. He was in the doghouse. He was out of the doghouse. Then they sell him for peanuts to Philly. Yep. And they essentially draft his clone, and with first-round draft capital, Gibbs was projected to be like a second-round pick, and now they're not even using him. So let's not get started on the personnel decision-making in Detroit. But I think Jared Goff, just in this matchup alone, Carolina's secondary is actually pretty darn good. Look at what they did against Kirk Cousins recently. They held him to his first down game of the season. They had a pick 6 off him as well. Yeah. They've got some talented playmakers with their pass rush and their defensive back. So where you take advantage of them is on the ground. Again, the Lions here are at home, so I think they run all over the Panthers. I've got a couple wagers myself on Dave Montgomery over his rushing yards, but I think that in turn is going to allow Jared Goff to not really have to do that much through the air. I think the pass attempts will be down, and that means the chances for passing touchdowns will be down as well.
I'm with you. We've given out 3 sells so far, so let me give you a buy, okay? And this is a guy who I think is going to do pretty well, even though matchup on paper doesn't look too well. But this team, I'm looking at game script here. I think this guy's going to be down early, and I think he's going to have a great player back with him, and he's going to be able to throw on this team that has allowed QBs to throw on them at 3 of the past 4 weeks. And that's Matt Stafford versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I love Philadelphia. I think that defensive line for Philly really makes it difficult for things to happen in Los Angeles. So I'm a little bit worried about Matt Stafford staying upright. But should he stay upright, the addition of Cooper Kupp potentially back in this game, Puka Nacua, best rookie wide receiver the world's ever seen. Tutu Atwell still doing things like this. Passing offense and Sean McVay's brain behind it is really intelligent and doing a lot of good things here. And Philly has let guys look, you know, really, really good. Mac Jones had his best week of the year so far. Kirk Cousins had over 350 yards. Sam Howell looked really good, minus the sacks last week. And I hate Sam Howell. You guys know that. But I'm really in on Matt Stafford this week. And if you got a guy like CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence. I'm looking at starting Stafford over them. I really am. And I know that's going to get me in trouble in some places, but that's what I'm picking. Stafford's my guy. Dell, sleeper of the week coming from the quarterback position. Who is it?
He is the cover boy of my week five fantasy rankings. And it's a feel-good story, Tony, in the NFL overall. Let's just say that. I actually dropped Dak Prescott to pick him up in one of my leagues. And it's Sir Robert Joshua Dobbs. I love me some Josh Dobbs now and for the rest of the season, as long as he has the starting quarterback job with Arizona. This was supposed to be a tanking team. And look, they're fighting, man. Like, they're trying hard in these games. We were all laughing our asses off at Coach Gannon with those awkward clips during the preseason. But these guys are obviously responding to that. They're playing together. I mean, look what Dobbs is doing. Like, he goes viral on social media because he walks into the Cardinals store, tries to buy his own jersey. They don't even have one. Tries to customize it. They don't even have his name to customize the jersey with. The guys visiting high school football Cardinals cheerleaders that suffer from the same hair loss deficiency that he's had. I mean, the list goes on and on. This guy's like a freaking saint right now. And what I love about him, Tony, you know me, I'm a sucker for a rushing quarterback. Josh Dobbs is running the football, man.
Yeah,
he's running the football, and he's got some decent weapons. Marquise Brown is fully healthy. The rookie, Michael Wilson, we'll talk about him in a little bit. He popped off.
I love Michael Wilson.
Multiple touchdowns. He's a big-bodied receiver. Actually, a great compliment on the opposite side of the field to Marquise Brown as well. If they can ever figure out what to do with Rondale Moore, maybe make him a hybrid running back, that could add another explosive element into the mix here for Arizona. So,
I think they figured out what to do with Rondale Moore, and that's leave him on the sideline, but that's just me.
I think you should play running back personally, but that's another story for another day. But, I mean, look, this Bengals defense, you know me, I'm always a proponent of the Bengals here, but they have shown us nothing outside of that lone island game of Monday Night Football against the Rams. They've been terrible. They let Derrick Henry run all over them last week. Yep. So I'm not saying the Bengals are going to win or the Cardinals are going to play bad, vice versa. If you look at through 4 weeks, this should probably be a pretty competitive game. But Josh Dobbs, the running, the passing efficiency, that's enough for me. I've got him at QB10 in my rankings right now. I cut Dak Prescott for Josh Dobbs, Tony, and I feel great about it.
Let's go. I actually just picked up Josh Dobbs in a very deep league, and I'm very happy about it. But let's move on now to the running back position, Dell. I want to talk about some of these dudes. These are the lifeblood of your team, my friend. And, you know, we're not talking about Najee Harris here. So let's talk about some names that we want to dive into, because I have a sell that I think is going to make you mad at me. It's going to make you personally mad at me, but I just don't believe it's going to happen. But you go first, my friend. This is where your bust of the week is coming from, too, at the end of this. So I'm excited to see who you're going on. We haven't liked a lot of people so far. Let's get some guys we want to like here. Who's your first RB you want to talk about?
Well, I've got two of my three guys are sells. So let's start off with the bye. I said I was marrying him last week, and we've had a great honeymoon so far, Tony. I'll tell you that much. It's Kyren Williams, man. The guy is top five, top 10 in every single workload metric you can look at. He's top 10 in carries per game, top 10 in rushing yards per game. When you look at running back receptions overall, he's also in that mix too. So Kyren Williams, look, he's third overall in the league in running back targets, only behind Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders so far. When Sean McVay falls in love, he falls in love hard. And when he falls in love with a running back, that means he's giving that running back 30-plus touches a game, and that's what he's doing week in and week out with Kyren Williams. So I expect a lot of dump down passes. I expect all the goal line touches, all the 2-minute drill touches. So for me, I just don't understand why Kyren Williams is like a borderline top 12, top 13 option so far, when he's clearly shown us he's putting up top 5 workload numbers and top 5 fantasy points per game. So I've got him as my running back 4. I really don't think it's a stretch, but compared to the rest of the industry right now, it is a little bit of a stretch.
Dell, this is not a joke. This is not, I can show you my little notepad here. This is not a joke. The guy I'm selling is Kyren Williams. And I really like Kyren Williams. I really like this Los Angeles team. They're feisty. They're a lot of fun. I think this is Sean McVay's best coaching job he's ever done. I love watching this team play. They are feisty. And Kyren Williams, you're absolutely right. You want volume from the running back position. You are yearning for volume, and he has it. He might be the biggest volume running back in the league right now, next to Zach Moss, who won't be on the field anymore. Kyren Williams has been destroying things, but this Philadelphia team, Chris, and an offensive line that has already beaten up in Los Angeles. Let me just read off the past 4 running back games versus Philadelphia this year. The combination of Ramondre and Ezekiel Elliott was 19 rushes for 54 yards. Alexander Mattison, 8 rushes for 28 yards. 14 rushes for 38 yards by Rashad White. And Brian Robinson had 14 rushes for 45 yards. And the lone touchdown they've given up on the ground. Add that all together. That's an awful – you could give all of those carries to your boy Kyren Williams in this game. All 80 of those carries, and it's still not a good RB number at the end of the day. I think the Philly gives up some stuff in the receiving game and the running backs, but it's not even enough for me to sniff at this. I don't like it. It's going to be a lot of volume, but we saw Joe Mixon get a lot of volume last week, and he ended up, what, the RB23. Like, I just think that's what you're going to end up with. Not a lot of juice on the vine. I'm selling Kyren. So we are head-to-head on this one, my friend.
Let's do it. I mean, I hear the points there. What I will say is Rashad White, I mean, that's kind of out of the tier here we're talking about. But Ramondre and Zeke, if you combine their numbers, the targets they got, I mean, these are pretty bad offenses we're talking about. I have a lot more faith in McVay and the Rams offense than I do with the Bucs, with the Patriots.
1,000%, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my glimmer. I hope is the targets there potentially for him. I'm going to go into a guy that I'm down on. You actually mentioned both of them when you were giving the bull.
Are you finally out on Alexander Mattison?
I'm finally fading Alexander Mattison.
Yes. It's
about that time. Look, they brought in Cam Akers. I will say this. I believe that Mattison will finish the year with more touches than Cam Akers on a per-game basis, but I also do think it'll be close. I think that it'll be more of like that typical 55-45% split. I think Mattison will still control the running back targets, but the problem is in this game is that the Chiefs defense has actually been pretty darn good this year, yeah, quietly, even though some of the opponents they face haven't been so great. So look, when it comes to the goal line, we saw Cam Akers get multiple goal line snaps last week for the Vikings. I don't know how much they're going to be at the goal line in this game because I expect most of their success offensively is going to come through the air. So for me, that just all goes to show that Alexander Mattison, look, I think he could be a solid flex option for you. But in the grand scheme of things, I've got him as my RB27. Industry has him as RB21. So I think he could be a flex if you need it. But I'm concerned about the efficiency, the lack of touches, and then, again, like a sneaky tough matchup here against Kansas City. Just to put things in perspective, with the Kansas City defense overall, they are pretty good in terms of their pass rush so far, and the Vikings overall has shown a little bit of propensity to let Kirk Cousins get blitzed in the backfield. So even if he does try to dump down, I don't know how much time he's going to have in this matchup here. So I definitely am fading Mattison a little bit this week.
I'm very happy to hear you finally came to my side of the aisle here with selling Alexander Mattison. You were big on him for a long, long time, my friend. I know that was big for you. You've you've grown today, and I'm proud of you, Chris. I'm going to talk about a running back that you've also already brought up, and this is a buy for me. And this is a, you know, keep the good train rolling buy. This is a guy that you probably drafted somewhere fifth, sixth, seventh round. You're like, I don't understand how this keeps happening, and I think it's going to keep happening. It's David Montgomery. The damn Detroit Lions, Dell, they don't stop running the ball, as you said. Yeah. And as you also said, the Carolina Panthers defense is horrendous against the run. The first three games that they had this year, the Carolina Panthers gave up 2 touchdowns to a running back in each of their first three games. The only one to not do it was last week was Alexander Mattison, but he still had 97 yards rushing, just didn't get to the end zone twice. Like, they don't stop running the ball. They allow you to run it. I don't know where Derek Brown went. I think he's one of the best D tackles in the league. You can blow right by them now. And I think multiple touchdowns, multiple rushing attempts. Detroit puts up a big number here. I'm all aboard David Montgomery train. If you have him, don't even think about it. Put him in that RB1 slot and you'll be happier for it. Dell, the bust of the week from the running back position. I will say, I think there's a lot of running backs this week that are going to have pretty big games. I love both of the Miami running backs. I don't care which one you have. I think you start in both of them. I love Travis Etienne against that Buffalo team. As you said, we don't like what Trevor Lawrence on the passing offense can do. I think Travis Etienne can have some fun against Buffalo. But what do you think? You have a bust down here for the running back position. Who are you not buying?
It's Ramondre Stevenson from New England. I'm pretty low on him this week compared to consensus. I've got him as RB26. Consensus has him at RB22 this week. So if you've got two other better running backs or in that fringe range where you're signing to start and set, I'm probably fading Stevenson more often than not. The New Orleans Saints run defense has been pretty legit this year. They're number 6 overall in run stopping grade according to PFF. They're number 4 overall in ESPN's run stop win rate metric as well. And when you look at The New England Patriots, on the other hand, they're 20th in PFF run blocking grade, so they just haven't been able to open up holes. I mean, look, like, Ramondre is still the starter. That BS report that came out last Sunday morning that Zeke Elliott's going to get starter snaps and he didn't even start the game. I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here? So I'm not trusting – I'm sure as hell not trusting Zeke, but I'm definitely not trusting Ramondre either. He's dropping passes. He just doesn't look right. This whole offense doesn't look right. Will Mac Jones get benched again? Who knows? But, again, like, Ramondre Stevenson, to me, it's just more of fading the Patriots offense in a tough matchup overall. I could see this game being like decided 10-7 at the end of things because both these offenses look really bad right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on Ramondre. I actually, in our Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Fantasy Football League that you and I are both in with a bunch of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette writers and editors and all the other fun people there, I went with a hero RB strategy. And where you draft one running back and then you don't pay attention to running back till the end of the draft. And I thought I came away with a really good team, except that hero RB is Ramondre. And it's been there's a reason I'm 1-3 in that league. Let's move on to the wide receiver position, Dell. This is a very interesting position. We keep on talking about we're selling a lot of quarterbacks. We think there's a lot of low scoring games this week, a lot of good defenses. Doesn't help that a lot of good offenses are on a bye. So I'm interested to see what our wide receivers are because I got three guys that I'm thinking about buying this week. Who's the wide receiver one you want to talk about?
Yeah, first of all, I will say that last week there was quite a few surprises. I mean, Deebo Samuel had a goose egg. When's the last time, if ever, we could say that about him? Jordan Addison, who'd been rising every single week in snaps, routes, usage. I liked him last week. I thought he was a sleeper. Had a goose egg as well, which kind of points me more to being confident in Carolina's secondary than anything else. But game script played a part in that too. So I'm not going to run and panic on these guys. Like, I'm not selling Addison. I'm not selling Deebo for pennies on the dollar. The wide receiver position in fantasy is the most volatile week to week. Even the elite options come away some weeks with four catches for 40 yards and don't necessarily get there for you. But when they do go off, you want to make sure you've got them in your lineup. So you got to live with the volatility here. And I will say on certain guys like that, I think Deebo Samuel – is in line for a big bounce back game here. He's not going to be one of my top loves because I do think him and Ayuk are both in that similar category. But one guy who's been people have been pretty down on so far this year is DeAndre Hopkins. I actually do like the veteran D Hop quite a bit.
I had D Hop.
You got no way.
I had D Hop. Yeah, it's one of my three guys. Let's go. I like it.
DeAndre Hopkins, look, man, like, the volume isn't always going to be there for him because this team simply doesn't drop back to pass enough, but it's looking like Treylon Burks is going to be out again. There was a play last week. DeAndre Hopkins had like a finger away from getting a 40-yard touchdown catch. There was another play on a flea flicker where he could have got another 30, 40 yards. So the big plays were there. You can't just look at the final box score numbers. And now he's coming off, I believe, two straight full weeks of not being limited in practice. So this Colts secondary is one of the true pass funnels in the league. The Titans are as well on the other side of things here. So I think both these teams will have some success throwing the ball. The Titans are on the road. I don't think they're going to be able to give the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times like they did last week against the Bengals. So for me, D-Hop, I've got him as my wide receiver 22. I'm comfortable putting in as my second receiver or as a strong flex option here in week five.
I mean, the Colts this year have already given up a bunch of big, big games to a bunch of wide receivers. The only real game that they shut people down was against Baltimore, but that was a weird game altogether. But yeah, Indy, three of those four games gives up some big numbers. And I had D-Hop as one of my three guys. So I guess I'll go with my other one. And this one I was scared to say, because usually the Patriots take away what you do best, and I don't know if New Orleans does anything best, but my opinion, Chris Olave was one of those guys that had a really bad day, really bad, no good day. And I think he just comes back to a prominence here. This New England secondary is losing people left and right when it comes to injury. Christian Gonzalez is probably out for the year now. It was a DPO, a Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate out of New England. And now we have New Orleans. I don't know if Derek Carr's arm is attached to his body. I don't know why Jameis Winston didn't start, but I do believe it's going to get better with time, and Olave should be able to eat against this secondary. New England just made a trade to get J.C. Jackson back from the Los Angeles Chargers. He used to be there. J.C. Jackson was a healthy scratch for Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is a bad defense, and J.C. Jackson couldn't sniff a starting role there, and New England said, that's our savior. Bring him over. We need his help. So I'm worried about this New England defense. Belichick is worried about this New England defense to be making these moves at this point of the season. So I think Olave is going to be the beneficiary here. I'm saying you got mad at him last week. He might have cost you a win in fantasy. I think this week he gives you that win back. I'm all aboard the Olave train. Dell, who's wide receiver two? And please don't take my other guy because I only wrote down three names.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is a guy I've been down on for consecutive weeks, I think for good reason. We finally saw the glimmer of hope for some optimism last week, and it was the wrong week to be down on him, I will say, and that's Garrett Wilson with the New York Jets. I mean, this is as good of a matchup as you're ever going to get this season against a Denver Broncos team that, look, yes, they scored a touchdown against the Bears last week, which got them through as a fantasy defense. However, this isn't the same type of matchup here where Zach Wilson, if Justin Fields can do it, then Zach Wilson can do it too. And he's going to have some success throwing through the air. We saw him gain some confidence in week four. Garrett Wilson, he's just an elite talent that commands targets at an elite level overall. So, look, one of the best matchups on paper. We're coming off now four straight weeks. Every game this season, Garrett Wilson has increased his targets. 5 in week one, 8 in week two, 9 in week three. 14 targets, 9 catches in week four. So, look, the yards, they're not that high yet. And the touchdowns haven't been there since week two either. But we know that he's going to be the go-to red zone threat for the Jets. And this is, again, just a fantastic matchup. So I'm slightly higher on Garrett Wilson compared to consensus. When you look at the overall fantasy rank, the Broncos are dead last in fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receiver. On average, individual receivers score 4 points more on a weekly basis against this Broncos team. That's a 13% increase week to week. So I'm all about locking in Garrett Wilson into your starting lineups this week.
I'm surprised it took us this long to name a Jet on this fantasy show because I'm right there with you. The Jet, it's an ugly offense, but I cannot stress this enough. If you guys don't know, listening or watching right now, what DVOA is, it's a stat that was sort of created in the past few years. An advanced statistic brings a bunch of numbers together and goes through the past and figures out who is the best at certain points in time. You know, it's like war for baseball or any of those other advanced metrics. DVOA calculates defenses for the last 100 years of the NFL. And through the first four games of the season, no defense in the history of the NFL has a worse DVOA than your Denver Broncos. I think if you have a team, even if it is Zach Wilson, and you got guys that are playing against Denver, they're must starts. They are must starts. We made Justin Fields look like a number one overall pick for the first three quarters of that Denver game. I just think anyone can eat against Denver. And again, Garrett Wilson, great pick by you. I couldn't do it, but he was definitely thought about. Denver's defense stinks, and Vance Joseph should be ashamed of himself. The wide receiver I'm going to give before you give your stash of the week at the wide receiver position. And this is a little bit weird because I told you to sell C.J. Stroud, but I think I'm just going off of an inkling here. I think I'm going off of looking at the past few games that Atlanta has played. I think there's a prototype of a wide receiver that can get them. And it's a guy that patrols the middle of the field that occasionally goes deep on, is not necessarily the big bodied receiver, but more the smaller, quicker guy. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown and Christian Kirk, I think you're going to get that out of Tank Dell in this game. So if you're looking at some wide receivers, maybe your wide receiver three, maybe your flex position, maybe you got some bye week guys, some injury guys, you need a guy you need to go sniff out. I do think Tank Dell has a fun little game here because Atlanta has been prone to giving up those middle of the field, little shifty routes to those big guys. And I think Tank Dell fits that mold of a Christian Kirk. So I'm excited to see if Tank Dell can be the outlet for C.J. Stroud, because I still believe in the cat. Like, I still think C.J. Stroud's excellent. I think he has a bad day today versus Atlanta, but Tank Dell might be the guy that gives him some help. So that's the second wide receiver I'll give you. Dell, your stash of the week.
Yeah, it's a stash of the week. This guy, I mentioned him on my Week 5 Fantasy Fallout article, which you can catch every Tuesday at post-gazette.com. And he was only 1.5% owned as of Tuesday when waivers went through. He's still in that range where he's going to be available in a lot of leagues, especially leagues with shorter benches overall. He's now 28% owned, which isn't super high. So if he's out there, I would definitely try to stash him at the end of my bench over some maybe more veteran wide receivers who put in these middling, mediocre type of performances. And it's going back to Arizona with Michael Wilson. We talked about it already. Now, look, like, you could say that last week it was like his first breakout game. People might call it a fluke game that he scored two touchdowns. And I will say that, look, when you're 6'1", 216 pounds, you're going to make yourself available as a go-to red zone threat, especially with a quarterback who has some mobility like we've seen in Josh Dobbs. And I didn't get to touch on this with Josh Dobbs, but just want to bring up the fact that this guy looked good in very limited action last year when he started that one game for Tennessee. And when you look back to 2017, he was a fourth-round draft pick. I just want to read off these numbers from Player Profile. 88th percentile 40-yard dash for Josh Dobbs, 4.54 40-yard dash, 83rd percentile burst score, 88th percentile agility score. So this guy can move. It's no fluke to that, and I think he's going to run more, which is going to give younger receivers with juice the ability to get open, just like Michael Wilson, and teams are going to continue to focus on Marquise Brown as that deep, speedy threat on the outside. So look, Michael Wilson has less targets and less receptions than Marquise Brown. He only has 4 yards less, or two receiving yards less than Marquise Brown does so far this year. He's third on the team in targets, third on receptions. He's catching 87.5% of the targets that have been thrown to him so far, a very reliable type of intermediate safety blanket. So I think that Michael Wilson's a great stack. I also think he's a high upside flex option in week 5 against the Cincinnati Bengals secondary that's scaring nobody right now.
He's also been steady growth in both targets and route and snap share and route share. Like, there's been steady growth. They're getting him into this offense slowly. And I think last week was just the beginning of the run for Micah. I'm very angry I didn't get him in my fantasy league because I wanted him bad. I think you're right there on that. So that's it for the wide receiver position. Let's each give a tight end. We both did not do well in the tight end position last week, but I will say I gave up Pat Freiermuth and my guy. Oh man, I think I injured. It's my fault that he got injured. Okay, Pittsburgh, it's my fault. But let's give out two tight ends. I got one. If you steal this tight, I'm going to be pissed because I think I nailed this one. But who's the tight end you want to give out?
Who does do well at picking tight ends on a week to week basis in fantasy, Tony?
We do. I've done really well on this show picking tight ends. That's why I'm excited about this one. I just looked him up. He's TE11 according to the fantasy rankings. I think he's a top 5 player at this position based on what we're doing.
I would say if you go back to the preseason fantasy favorites tight end, two of the four that I wrote up were Sam LaPorta and Jake Ferguson. So I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. If you drafted them early, stayed away from Kyle Pitts. You know, we could do a whole nother Kyle Pitts fantasy show every week if we wanted to here. So, in all seriousness, this was a guy I was actually pretty high on last week. He played in the early game and got hurt. And I believe that he would have easily gone over his receiving yards, Tony. It's the man they call Luke Musco. Luke Musco, baby. Luke Musgrave.
Dude, right? That hurt me so bad. Del, can we take a timeout? Can we take a timeout? I know we don't want to tell sob stories and we're talking. There may have been some entity out there that said Luke Musgrave would only have 3.5 receptions for 29.5 yards, whatever it may be. And then there might be some host of this podcast that may have picked the over on both of those numbers during that game and may have put on more than a piece of pizza on that. And then when Luke Musgrave gets hurt and he has one catch for 1 yard and goes out with a concussion, and then his two backup tight ends who don't see the field on passing, I cannot stress this enough, they don't see the field on passing plays, Dell. They ended up both going over the numbers Luke Musgrave would have hit in that game. I was so angry, Dell, that Josiah DeGara, and I was so angry, man. Anyway, sorry, I had to get that out there. This one hurts. I hope you're right, Dell. I hope you're right.
I mean, look, if he's healthy, I think he's going to ball out. This guy's got some juice. He's a talented player. 94, you wouldn't think about it with his big, bulky frame. You know, we're talking about a guy that's 6'6", 253 pounds, and had a 94th percentile speed score, 87th percentile burst score. I love looking at these numbers for rookies because it shows me how much juice they have if they're in the right type of situation here. And the Raiders have the 7th worst fantasy defense in terms of opposing tight ends. Now, look, the Chargers tight ends didn't get there last week. You could say part of that was Herbert's hand. Maybe you say part of that is the fact that Gerald Everett's been around for a long time now and is just never showing up when we need him to. I think Musgrave is a different type of talent here, so I like him to stay healthy. Again, you talked about last week that the tight end position in general for Green Bay got the volume we needed. It just wasn't to the right guy because he got hurt, had one catch for 1 yard. I think he could have led the team in receiving that half those targets that went to Romeo Dobbs.
I know we could have.
Luke Musgrave, whatever you want to call him. I got him as my tight end 7 this week. He's ranked as tight end 16 by the rest of the industry right now.
Again, this is a tight end I'm going to give. He's ranked TE11. I think he finishes way up there, and it's a guy that we've been talking about for a while, whether it was real or whether it was not, and Dell already gave out his sleeper at the quarterback position. It's Zach Ertz, tight end of the Arizona Cardinals. Let me just read off.
I'm in on Ertz now.
Good. Hey, I'm happy you're in on Ertz. I convinced you on Madison. Now I've convinced you on Ertz. Ertz is back, baby.
I had the under on Ertz last week, and he had one catch for 7 yards until 4 minutes left in the game. They went on a junk time drive. He ends the game with 5 catches for 55 yards. And you know what?
He dropped a touchdown, too.
They're going to keep putting him out there over Trey McBride. He's just going to put up enough numbers to matter because the tight end position stinks. So go ahead on your Zach Ertz, man.
And I do think that last drive was huge because he dropped that touchdown and looked so dejected at the end of it, looked so disappointed in himself. They weren't going to win the game, but they were at least going to try an onside kick and all that other crazy stuff. You never know what's going to happen. He looked so angry that I think he comes back with a vengeance this week. And Cincinnati, your boys in the Bengals' awful orange uniforms. By the way, those all-white uniforms are the ugliest things I've ever seen. You look like Hershey Kisses. Anyway, In 4 games, they've let up 3 touchdowns to the tight end position. And the only game they didn't, Tyler Higbee had 5 catches for 71 yards. They cannot cover tight ends. I'm all aboard the Zach Ertz train. He is the check down guy for Dobbs. He is that last read in every single play. And he is open. He's having a great season. Welcome back to the league, Zach Ertz. And I think he has a great week 5. I'm all aboard. Dell, let's go to your defense, the Dell's defense of the week. Last year, you did great, kind of. You had the Denver defense, and for 3 quarters, it was looking bad. But then that end, man, hey, they ended up as defense number 9 on the season, and you knew it all along, looking like a genius. Who's the defense this week?
First of all, I just will say is that Zach Ertz is 2nd in the NFL in tight end targets through 4 weeks.
Let's go. Let's go, Zach. You can't deny value.
He was so bad the last 2 years. I didn't think he had anything left in him, and apparently he does. So
was he bad or was Kyler bad?
I'm putting some respect on Zach Ertz's name.
Was he bad or was Kyler and Carson Wentz bad? Just saying.
Yeah, it could have been both, but yeah, I see your point on that one. But no, I'm with you there. No, look, there's a couple deep. I want to just name a couple that I'm really high on versus consensus this week, and I'm just going to group them together because these are defenses we don't really look at as being – the best in the biz, right? I'm not going to say Washington because they play Thursday night. We're recording this here Thursday afternoon. I've got them ranked number 1. Pretty much everyone else has either 1 or 2. However, let's talk again about your boys, the Green Bay freaking Packers, man. Really? I've got the Packers this week ranked as my number 5 defense overall. The consensus has them as defense number 18. I just frankly don't understand it. Look, I know you can run on the Packers, but as of today, Thursday, October 5th, Garoppolo is still in concussion protocol. Usually at this point, like when you're coming back out of that, if you're missing multiple weeks and you're not practicing in full yet, it doesn't bode well for your chance to play. And even if the game is on a Monday night, and if Aiden O'Connell is in there against that pass rush, I think your boy Rashawn Gary and company are going to get after him. The Chargers defense has been terrible all year, and they put in one of the best DST performances this past week against Las Vegas. Yep. And that was without Bosa. I think that the Packers could do that and even more on Monday Night Football. So to me, I'm starting the Packers over the Niners, over the Eagles, over the Cowboys. I got the Packers number 5 this week, man.
I'd love to see it. Go Pack, go. And then your kicker, the winner chicken kicker of the week. Last year, you gave out more Dinero Pinheiro, and he ended up K-13. Pretty good for a guy you're trying to grab out of the nothings here. Who's your kicker of the week?
Well, that came with a disclaimer because I said if Bryce Young started, but Cameron Dicker, the kicker, didn't wind up doing anything. So he was around the same as Pinheiro anyway. So I'm going to take the L. I got dropped all the way. I'm now 13th out of 150 kicker rankings. So I got to get back in that top 10.
Yeah, we got to get you back there.
That bumped me down, man. Let's talk about a guy that, you know, most weeks I think the offense is going to be more efficient than not in terms of scoring touchdowns. But this week's going to be a pretty tough matchup. I think that either kicker in the game we're talking about between Arizona and the Bengals, I actually really like Matt Prater a lot. I think Arizona is going to move the ball. And look, my quarterback sleeper is Josh Dobbs. My stash of the week is Michael Wilson. To me, it's just showing that I am buying into what we've seen through a month now of the season, that Arizona might go 4-13, but they're going to be competitive. They're going to move the ball. And the defense might be terrible, but I'm going to trust in this offense to put up points, to move the chains. And I really like Matt Prater a lot. The industry has him as kicker 20 right now. I've got him as the overall kicker 13, so I'm considerably higher on him. I definitely think he's a fringe starter if some of those top options aren't on your waiver wire for week 5.
That's it for the Steeltown Sleepers for week 5, the first of the many bi-week editions of our fantasy show. We're going to go in, get nitty gritty, and try to get you guys to win your league. I thank you again, Mr. Chris Dell. I'm Tony Squares, and that is it for the Steeltown Sleepers. See you next week. We'll somehow be here again.
Peace out.